Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Looking for the perfect First Communion, Confirmation, or RCIA gift? Consider a beautiful, heirloom-quality, made-in-Italy rosary from Ghirelli. A Ghirelli rosary will be prayed with and cherished forever, guaranteed. Shop Ghirelli today. That's ghirelli.com.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Socks, a Catholic book blogger. Today with us, we have my good friend, Deacon Greg Kendra. He's the creator of the blog The Deacon's Bench and multimedia editor for the Catholic Near East Welfare Association. He's received every major award in broadcasting, including 2 Emmys, 2 Peabody Awards, and 4 awards from the Writers Guild of America. He's a native of Maryland, and his wife and he live in Forest Hills, New York, where he serves at Our Lady Queen of Martyrs Parish. Welcome to the show, Deacon Greg.
Thanks, Pete. It's great to be here.
Well, as you know, we are here to discuss your new book, The Busy Person's Guide to Prayer. And to start off that discussion, what drew you to writing this particular book?
Well, actually, it wasn't my idea. It was the good folks at Word Among Us Press contacted me. And over the years, I've been contacted by various people at one time or another saying, you know, would you like to write a book? Do you have any ideas for a book? And I was always interested, but I didn't really have the time to come up with something. So somebody, I guess, thought, well, who better to write a book about being too busy to pray than a really busy person? So they contacted me and they said, we have this idea. They said, a lot of people have been contacting us and saying, do you have a book about being too busy to pray? Because I feel like I'm too busy to pray and I don't know what to do. And we'd like to offer people a book like this. And we think you're the person who should write it. And we talked about it a little bit more. And I said, you know, let me give this a shot. And so here we are about a year later, and it's done.
Yeah.
I actually wrote a book.
Yeah, it's a great book. I highly encourage people to go out and get a copy. So I'm going to throw you a couple softballs here early in this interview, Deacon. Why is prayer so essential to our faith journey?
Well, prayer is how we establish our relationship with God. It is an ongoing conversation with our Creator. And that's so important to keep that going and to stay connected. You know, even if you are just a casual churchgoer or if you're not a churchgoer, and I should point out that this book is not just for Catholics. It should be accessible, I think, and, you know, you could be a better judge than I may be. It should be accessible, I think, to a wide range of Christians, a wide range of believers who just want to enhance their prayer life and learn how to enrich their prayer life. Mm-hmm. And being being a prayerful person just connects you to God in a way. And every day that begins in prayer is going to be better, just automatically, no matter what you do. And to make that a central part of your life just puts everything in perspective and gives balance and direction and hope to the way that we live. And so I want to, you know, put that out there for people to hold on to and to enrich their lives.
Yeah. And I have to agree with you. This is definitely a book that I think is a cross faiths book, because it's not keying in on just Catholic stuff, so to speak. And it's written, I really like how you wrote it. You wrote it simply. You didn't get deep in the weeds with a lot of theological stuff. You took the approach of, you know, your own experiences and things you've seen through your years in the diaconate, and made it approachable for people.
Well, thank you. And that's, you know, really just coming from my own experience. I started out at the beginning, I let people know right from the introduction, I'm not a theologian, I'm not a scholar, I don't have a lot of letters after my name. I'm just a deacon and a writer and a preacher, and this is what works for me, and I want to share this with you.
In the early stages of the book, you state that prayer is about three things: praise, petition, and thanksgiving. I think sometimes we approach prayer simply for the petition part. Why is it important for us to do all three?
Oh, it's so important, because we can get so caught up in just ourselves and our own needs. And, you know, I've said previously in other things I've written that we tend to have this idea of God as being Santa Claus. And we go to him and we say, gimme, 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 and this is what I want, this is what I need, please give this to me, thank you, when can I expect this? That kind of an attitude. And it's so much more than that, and it's so much richer than that. And one of the things I think we tend to overlook as a people, not necessarily just as Catholics, but just in our human nature, is we don't thank God enough for everything. And we should make that a part of our daily life. No matter what he gives us, it is a gift, and we need to be grateful for that. Things large and small, and even the hard things that come into our lives, can teach us something and show us something. And God's always there pointing the way for us, and we need to be aware of that. And we need to acknowledge his greatness and his goodness and his love for us. And that's part of the praise part, you know, that he created this world that we live in. I'm looking out the window here in New York, and it's a spectacular day. And when people were coming into work today, there was a spring in their step. And I mentioned to someone, when God made the world, this is what he had in mind. This is how it was supposed to be, this beautiful spring day. But even when the days aren't beautiful and the days aren't perfect, every day that we're given to live is a gift, and we need to appreciate that and celebrate that and give thanks to God for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. How do we kickstart this prayer life? For someone that has no clue where to start, where would you tell them to begin, besides buying your book?
Yeah. First, go to Amazon, look up my name, buy the book. As I think I mentioned in the book, you begin praying by desiring to pray. Wanting to pray helps to make it happen. And wanting to have that conversation with God and wanting to be able to communicate with him and tell him what is in your heart. And it just builds on that one after another after another. And I encourage people in the book to start small. Don't go after, you know, big hour-long meditations or long litanies that you find in prayer books, but just find a quiet moment and say to God, here I am, help me to communicate with you, help me to get off my chest what is on my mind and to tell you what is in my heart. And we shouldn't be intimidated by that, because whether we realize it or not, God knows what is in our heart already. And he's just waiting for us to bring it forward and to articulate it. So it begins with the desire to pray and the willingness and the eagerness to have that relationship with God.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes part of the issue there is we look at God as this far-off, distant being, but he's really not, is he?
No, and that's something else that I try to encourage people to think of. I think it was St. Teresa of Avila, said to think of prayer as a conversation with a friend. And God is the most intimate friend that we can have. He is our creator. He is our father. He, in the form of Christ, is our brother. And nobody is closer to us than that. And we should talk to him the way that we would to a friend. And he will listen as a friend and respond as a friend, not as this great imperial figure up in a cloud sitting on a throne, just sort of, you know, throwing thunderbolts at people. But have a heart-to-heart with him. That's really what it's about.
So prayer can be easy. I think we overcomplicate it. And why do you think we do that?
Well, I think a lot of us have in our minds, growing up, going to church, having to memorize prayers, having to say them a certain way, having to use certain words, having to follow a formula. And that is one form of prayer, but it's not the only kind. And we shouldn't feel limited by just having to fit it into a box. Prayer is much more diverse and much more far-ranging than that. And we need to think a little outside the box and to think of prayer not just as those formal words that are printed in a book, but as feelings and as actions that are part of our life. I use the example in the book of Brother Lawrence, who believed that every action could be a prayer. And he wrote the book, The Practice of the Presence of God, mm-hmm. and basically said that I worship God when I'm washing the dishes in the kitchen. And all of that, with the right intention and the right purpose, can give glory to God. And I think we need to think that way about it.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back to discuss more about the topic of prayer in the book, The Busy Person's Guide to Prayer. You're listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
This spring, discover inspiring Catholic books from Ave Maria Press. New this season, they have books on Mary from best-selling authors Marge Steinhag Fenelon and Maria Morea Johnson. They also have a book on humility from Life Teen's Joel Stepanek, and a 6-day personal retreat with Father Jean-Pierre de Cassade from Father Jeffrey Kirby. From personal spirituality to group Bible study and RCIA resources to books for teens, Ave Maria Press has Catholic books for everyone.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. We're here with Deacon Greg Kandra today discussing his book, The Busy Person's Guide to Prayer. And Deacon, one of the things in the book you stress is the fact that we talked about it and touched upon it a bit last segment, that we have to look to God as a friend. Can you talk to that point to us a bit more?
Sure. You know, I think so often in the way that we're raised and in the way that we live our lives, we see God as this very distant, remote, far-off figure who sits in judgment of us. And that is good to a certain extent. It helps us, you know, form our conscience, and it helps us to live life a certain way. But it can create barriers, I think, in having a close relationship with God and in being able to communicate with him in an honest and forthright way. And it can also, in creating those barriers, it can create more barriers that keep us from listening to him. One of the things that I think we also don't do enough is give ourselves space and silence to be able to hear what God is trying to say to us and how he's trying to speak to our heart. And again, this can be a problem if we go to God with a Christmas wish list and say, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. What we really need to do is to say, God, I love you and I know that you love me, and this is what is in my heart and what is on my mind. And just share with him openly and honestly and with trust and with love and devotion and gratitude, what we want to express, and listen for his response. I have to say, the most powerful experience I ever had of this was when I went to a monastery down in Georgia when I was discerning my vocation. And it was really what kicked off the discernment when I went on a retreat to a Trappist monastery down in Georgia. and praying at 4 o'clock in the morning with the monks, something I had never done before, and being in total silence for about a half an hour. And it was then that God really spoke to me and said, there's something that I want you to do with your life. And this is going to be something beautiful and mind-blowing and life-changing. And I want you to listen to what I'm going to be saying to you and where I'm going to be taking you. And just like that, I was led down this path to where I am today. And it's being open and to being able to listen to what God wants us to do and what he wants for us.
Mm-hmm. You know, another point you bring up in the book, and there's plenty in here. I mean, it's amazing what all you can cram in 132 pages. and there's this quote, and you say, God doesn't ask of us what we cannot give. If you don't have 60 minutes to offer a litany of prayers, take 60 seconds to pray what is in your heart, end quote. And it doesn't get any simpler than that, does it? And it doesn't have to be formal.
That's exactly right. You know, God will take whatever we have. He's not a God who makes, you know, exceptional demands and says, you know, 60 seconds isn't enough, I want 60 minutes. It's not like that at all. You know, he takes everything that we have, everything that we are able to have, everything we are able to offer, and he understands our limitations and the struggles that we have and the obstacles that we have and the things that get in the way of our prayer life, and he wants to help us get past that. So, you know, as I said in the first segment, it begins with a desire to pray and a desire to deepen that relationship with God and trusting that he will take you the rest of the way.
So what tips can you give for making prayer a habit and bringing it a daily thing into our lives?
Well, the best thing to do is really to carve out a certain point or a certain time of the day when you know reliably that you can do it, even if it's just a minute or two, even if it's, you know, while you're brushing your teeth in the bathroom in the morning. Give that, you know, 3 minutes to God while you're doing it and build on that. And as the day goes on, find other moments that you can give to God and that you can speak with him and share what is in your heart. One of the practices that I mentioned that seems so simple and so basic, but we forget it so quickly, is the idea of saying grace before meals, which is, you know, another way of expressing our gratitude and praise to God. Make that a habit even if you're at a restaurant or with your family or whatever. It's a great way to inculcate that in children also, the idea of prayer. And never forget to give thanks for what he has given you.
Absolutely. In the last chapter, we're going to bounce around here a little bit. You bring up these 6 points that I think are really valuable on how to integrate this prayer life into one's life. And the first one, you know, is pretty simple. Get up 20 minutes earlier.
Sure. Yeah. If make it a priority and, well, as I said, you know, carve out that time for God, and it's just, you know, if you're going to exercise, you need to find some time for it. And this is really exercising your soul. So make that a little bit of a priority, just a few minutes a day to make that important.
And another thing you bring up in the book, and I like where you say this, is that too often we think of prayer as something we start and stop. You know, okay, I'm done praying now I'll move on to something else. And you kind of alluded to it there earlier in your answer, but every action we do during the day can be a prayer. Can you give us some thoughts on that? Because I think some people sometimes have a hard time grasping that concept.
Oh, sure. And I think I may have mentioned in my book the idea of the monks, ora e labora, work and prayer, prayer and work. They divide up their day between, you know, praying for a while, working for a while, working for a while, praying for a while, to a point where after a certain time, it all blurs together and work becomes prayer and prayer becomes part of their work. I think if you have a certain mindset about prayer, that your life is a prayer, everything that you do in your life can be a prayer and should be a prayer, it can transform the way that you live and the way that you look at your life as you see everything you do as something that you can give to God. And I mentioned Brother Lawrence earlier, you know, whether you're doing the dishes or, as I said, brushing your teeth or cooking a meal or babysitting or driving to work, all of that, everything can be offered to God as a kind of prayer. And that is how I think you pray unceasingly, not just with words, but with your mind and your heart and with your actions.
So what are some of your favorite prayers? How do you integrate prayer into your life?
Well, I do morning prayer and evening prayer. Sometimes if I don't fall asleep, I'll do night prayer. My wife and I pray the rosary every Sunday night, faithfully and religiously. And one of my quick go-to prayers is the prayer from the Miraculous Medal Novena. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse for thee. Whenever I'm feeling stressed out or there's something on my mind or something bothering me, that is my go-to quick prayer. And I picked up on that because shortly before I was born, my mother was having a difficult pregnancy, and she had had three miscarriages. She had my sister, who was 8 years older than me, and then had a series of miscarriages, and she and my father and my sister, who was 8 years old at the time, started to do the Miraculous Medal Novena so that she would have a safe delivery and have a healthy baby. And here I am. So I feel like I owe so much of my life to our Blessed Mother. And so that has become my go-to prayer whenever I just need something to say to get me from here to there and get me to the next point of my life, and it never fails me.
One of the things you mentioned there was the morning, evening, and night prayers of the Liturgy of the Hours. I think some people can get a little intimidated by the four volumes and the multiple ribbons and the flipping of the pages, but there's an app for that. Can you tell us a bit about that? And do you prefer the app or do you prefer the pages?
Yeah, iBreviary. iBreviary is fabulous, and that has become my go-to thing because I have it on my phone, I have it on my iPad, and it's got all the prayers organized. There's no ribbon shuffling, no page flipping, no going to the guide and trying to find which page for which feast or whatever. It's all very well organized, and it's very convenient for me if I'm going into work on the subway or on the bus, which is usually where I'll do my morning prayer. It just makes it so simple. Mm-hmm. And so convenient. Although, I have to say, when you get right down to it, there is nothing that can match the experience of holding the book in your hands and praying with the Word of God that way. There is something very tactile and, for want of a better word, sensual about, you know, having the pages in your hand and smelling the paper and feeling a closeness to the Word of God that way, rather than with pixels on a screen.
Yeah.
Much more intimate and much more immediate.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, for convenience sake, I very often will use my iPhone and iBreviary, but when I can, I do like to use the four-volume set.
All right. Well, that, we're going to take one more quick break. We'll be back. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media.
Are you married? I'd like to suggest that you often return to the fond and true memory of your spouse when you first met and on your wedding day. Well, he or she is still that same lovable person. Perhaps life has presented many challenges you did not expect back then, but you have come through these together. And the providential fire of your tribulations and your love has forged you into the one body you are today. And that is a beautiful thing. Never let anyone or any inferior thing tear you and your spouse asunder. God is one with you. He is love. Your marriage is love. And love endures whatever comes. It does not come to an end. See 1 Corinthians 13. I'm Jim Littleton of FormingFaithfulFamilies.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. We've had with us today Deacon Greg Kendra. We've been talking about his book, The Busy Person's Guide to Prayer. In the book, you talk about silence, Deacon. So how can prayer be silent?
That is probably one of the most challenging things to do in this day and age, is to find ways to bring silence into your life. You know, the easiest, the best way to do it, I think, is if you can go to church. If you find a church that's open during the day, or even if it's open in the evenings, if they have adoration or benediction or something like that, which we have in my parish in Queens, to be able to go into a church and to just feel enveloped by silence, and to create an atmosphere where you don't have any distractions, and you can just listen and you know, speak to God what is in your heart, pray the familiar prayers that you know if you want, but then after speaking to him, let him speak to you and ask him what he needs to tell you and what he needs to put into your heart to take with you. And it can be transformative. Honestly, some of the best homilies I've come up with came during adoration and benediction in front of the Blessed Sacrament, where I didn't have a clue what I was going to preach about that weekend. And I just went to God and I said, tell me what you want me to say. And he has never let me down, and he will not let you down either. If you, you know, come to God with a sincere and open heart, and are willing to listen to what he wants to say to you, it can be life-changing.
Mm-hmm. Prayer can come in unexpected forms, and you talked a little bit about church there. How can the liturgy of the Mass be a prayer?
Well, the Mass is the greatest prayer, and it consumes all aspects of us. You know, we tend to think sometimes, I think, that you go to Mass, you sit in the pews, you sing, you say the prayers, you stand, you sit, you kneel, you take communion, and then that's it. But it really does, you know, the Vatican II talked about full, conscious, active participation. It involves all of the senses, what we hear, what we say, what we feel, and what we touch. And it is the complete expression of our love for God and his love for us, as we see in the sacrifice of the Mass. And if you go to Mass, I think, with the attitude of not just going to Mass, but of praying the Mass and making your presence there a continual prayer, it can really enrich the experience, I think, and give you a very different window into what the Mass is all about.
Right. So the Mass, essentially, for those of us who think they have a hard time incorporating prayer into their lives, that's an easy one. You know, we're supposed to be going there anyway. What can we do to ensure we're prepared for Mass each week and be able to more effectively enter into that hour in a form of prayer?
Well, a great thing to do is, you know, of course, to read the readings before you go, if you can. And again, you know, you can get them in Magnificat or Give Us This Day, or you can find them online. The USCCB website has all the Mass readings. And also, I think it helps to remember where we are in the church calendar. There is the rotation of the seasons that is very important to follow and to keep in mind. We just finished Lent. We're now in the middle of, or just starting, the wonderful season of Easter, which goes on for 50 days. It's not just one day.
Yeah.
But to also have some context, to read the, you know, refresh your memory on what the readings were last week, what they are this week, look ahead to what the readings are next week, because there's a logic and a rhythm and a flow to the readings and what we're going to be encountering. And if you keep that in mind, I think you see it as more than just 1 hour a week. You see it as a continual experience, and you will experience a lot of scripture when you're aware of it that way.
You also suggest in the book that friendship is a form of prayer. How so?
Yeah, that's the idea of human relationship. And in being in relationship with another person, in friendship, you can, in a sense, I think, pray. And it could be the friendship of a good friend of yours. It could be the friendship of your spouse. It is sharing your emotions and your heart and being open to what that experience can do for you and bring you closer to God. And I think God puts people into our lives for reasons. We hear in Genesis, it is not good for man to be alone. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to be in community, and we are supposed to live our lives with others. And the friends that we have, the friendships that we make, can enhance that and enhance our understanding of ourselves and of other people and of God's creation. And I think it's an important aspect that we shouldn't overlook. And I think, with the right intention and the right frame of mind, the friendships that we have, the relationships we have, can be a form of prayer, of giving praise to God for what he has given us.
You know, you talk about relationships there, and obviously, you know, one of the biggest ones is the family unit. And again, this would be an excellent book for husbands, wives, fathers, mothers to read, because one of the biggest challenges of myself that I find as a parent of younger kids is corralling everyone into that prayer time to say family rosary or something. So how do we integrate that in our busy lives with kids being involved in sports and you know, now it's summer, they want to be outside playing?
Well, the best thing, I think, is to start them very young, to take kids to church as often as you can, whenever you can, and to teach them how to pray. I opened the book with my earliest memory of prayer, which was my mother teaching me the prayer to my guardian angel. And that stayed with me. It left some sort of an imprint on me that I still have today. And I'm sure the way that my parents brought me up and the fact that they did take me to church regularly and that we did pray regularly. I can remember taking car trips. And before every trip, we said a prayer to St. Christopher for a safe trip and a Hail Mary and an Our Father. That kind of stuff really leaves an impression and models faith for children in such an important way. And we shouldn't minimize that or neglect it. And I think you need to make that a priority. And once again, the idea of saying grace before meals, mm-hmm. even if you're in a restaurant, can be such a witness to the faith and so important. And again, it's finding the time to make prayer a priority in the lives of the children.
Absolutely. Now, out of all the advice you serve up in this book, what do you think is the one key piece of advice that will help jumpstart prayer habit of someone that doesn't have one?
Don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid of prayer, and realize that any effort to pray is appreciated by God and loved by God. And don't feel that prayer is too big or too intimidating or too overwhelming. Even just a sentence, God, please be with me. I love you. Thank you for loving me. That very often can be prayer enough to give you some fuel to carry you through the rest of your day. Mm-hmm. But whatever you need to do, just start small and don't be intimidated by it. And speak honestly from your heart the words that you want to say to God.
So as we wind down today here, Deacon, we have this book. You also wrote another one of Lenten, Advent Meditations, I believe it was.
Yes.
Are there more books coming?
Why, yes. Funny you should ask. The folks at Ave Maria Press have asked me to do a book of Lenten devotions for next year. I did my Advent ones last Advent, so that's going to be coming almost a year from now, Lent of 2020, another book of short reflections that people can read every day. And the good people at Word Among Us Press have assigned me to do kind of a sequel to The Busy Person's Guide to Prayer, which is going to be The Busy Person's Guide to an Extraordinary Life, which is really building on some of the virtues and living a life of value and with values and with Christian ethics. And hopefully it'll be the same basic format. I'm still roughing it out in my mind and only have the barest of outlines to go with. But hopefully that will be done early next year.
Excellent. Looking forward to that. Well, that's all we have time for today, Deacon. Where can people find the Busy Person's Guide to Prayer?
The easiest way is just to go to Amazon.com and look for my name or the title of the book. It is also available from Word Among Us Press, which is WAU.org, and you can order it directly from there. And on Amazon, it is also available on Kindle for those who would prefer to get it that way.
All right. So again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to spend with us. Any closing thoughts?
Don't put off prayer. It can be a lifesaver, and any amount of prayer that you do will be that much better and make your life that much better.
All right. Amen. And with that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. And until next time, God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.